Okay, picture this. A young woman sits down at a table with two tape recorders and 20 knives. She spreads one hand out on the table, picks up a knife, and starts stabbing in between her fingers. When she misses and cuts a finger, she picks up a new knife and starts again. In the meantime, she's also recording the sound of this exercise. And at a certain point, she replays the tape, and she starts stabbing in between her fingers in time to the recording, complete with the same mistakes. There's a lot of blood. This event launched the career of the world's most famous performance artist, Marina Abramović. For more than 40 years, she's been testing her limits and the boundaries of what is both permissible and physically possible in art. Steve Paulson caught up with her to talk about her childhood in communist Yugoslavia and about that first bloody breakthrough performance.
So that must have been very painful, right?
Yeah, but this was not the point in these days. You know, we are talking early 70s. You have to go back into the time when the body was the center of the work and performance artist was exploring the physical limits and the pain was not the point. You just have to kind of swallow the pain. You know, blood was a paint and razor plates was a tool and whips was tool. It was a tool to tell the story, just like a painter will have the brush.
Were you nervous before you would go into these performance spaces?
Nervous would be mildly put it. I was terrified. And the fear is start not just in the moment before, start with days and days before. That kind of crumbling the stomach and feeling sick and I will have terrible migraine, whatever is happening, always something terrible happen. And then every time experience the same. The moment stepping into the performance field, almost the same second, everything disappears. It's like I'm entering into another different Marina body. And when you actually let it go in this way, it's the most wonderful reward you can have.
It sounds like you're being transported into, I don't know, some other dimension, some different state of consciousness.
Yeah, I really call this higher consciousness. You know, you're working from the highest part of yourself, but it takes every atom of your energy. And then you go back to lowest self possible.
And another piece you did, Rhythm 5, where you had lit this whole star and you...
Just 100 liters of petrol, which is lots of petrol.
So you climbed in the middle of it and this whole thing was burning around you. What happened then?
No, first, we have to go back a little bit. Why is 5-point star? Because of communism and because that 5-point star was in my birth certificate. And also 5-point star is something to do with restrictions, control, you know, no free speeches and so many of things that I have to kind of free myself. I want to be free from all this.
And you had grown up with all kinds of restrictions.
Concerning my family, my mother and all so on. So then I built this 5-point star from the wooden structure and filled with the sawdust soaked in 100 liters of petrol. I had the empty space inside the star, so I jump in. I want to line the star till the star burn and just stay, you know, kind of the trace of my body in. But nobody told me that actually oxygen can be taken completely away from that. It was lots of fire. So I go in, I lie down, and I lost consciousness. It was a doctor in the audience see that the flickering of the fire was falling on my feet and I didn't react. So something was wrong. It took me out.
So they jumped into the middle of the fire, pulled you out.
I was so angry. I was so angry that the body have limits, you know. And I'm looking back now and I say, oh my God, that was so much work and I could not do any other way because I have to do all these things to explore my physical limits, to come to the point to understand my mental limits.
But I mean, the other thing that's happening, I assume, is you don't exactly know what's going to happen in some of these performances, and you don't know how the audience is going to react either. I mean, like the people jumping in the middle of the fire and pulling you out. I mean, I guess that becomes part of the performance, right?
You know, first of all, you can't rehearse this, and you will never know how it's going to turn out. But that's what gives this directness and freshness to performance. It's not like theater piece that you rehearse, you know, your position of light, you know, the curtain come down. The ketchup is the blood and performance is a real one. Here, when you step in the space of performance, everything would happen in that space is a part of it. If electricity stops, earthquakes happen, the war starts, whatever is the part of that work. So, and then you go in and go out.
So another piece you did not that long after the one you've just been describing was Rhythm 0. which sounded even more dangerous, if that's possible. Tell me about that. Tell me about the premise of that.
So the Written Zero piece was, you know, just came from this public experience that, and criticism that, you know, we are masochist, performance art is not any kind of art, you have to be put in mental hospital. So by creating the piece where I'm standing in the middle of the gallery and I have 72 objects in the front for pleasure and for a pain, including pistol with one bullet, and the little instruction, I'm an object, you can do anything you want with me, and if you want to kill me, I take all responsibility.
And you're going to sit there for 6 hours?
And 6 hours standing, not sitting. That was just standing. And if you put my head up, I put my head up. If you split my legs, carry me around the gallery, I'm just completely in your hands. It was hell, the piece, so much more difficult. I know my own limits, but here it was the public. And I understood after this work that the public is the one who can kill you. You can never trust the public.
But if you are putting, well, tell me some of the tools. I mean, you already mentioned the pistol with the bullet, but you had a whip and, I mean, all kinds of things.
Okay, let me start with the nice ones, like a rose, like a pair of shoes, grapes, beautiful smell, soap, what else, feather. And then other side will be hammer, needles, chains, what else? Oh, my God. Razors, sharp instruments that you can penetrate the body, scalpel. So really bad stuff. And pistol with a bullet. So public can choose.
But if you do put some of those things out there and basically say, do whatever you want with me, with my body,
yeah,
aren't you daring people to see how far they'll go? I mean, is it an invitation for the audience to be violent?
Yeah, but I was ready to die. I was definitely ready to die because how I should be sure that somebody not to put bullet in my head. But I was young and I needed to do this. I needed to know where I am. What is the responsibility of public? What is the responsibility of an artist? And also, this was such a fresh art form.
Well, so the way you write about this is for the first 3 hours, they were pretty nice.
Very nice.
And then towards the end, they started getting more violent. They ripped off your clothes. They started stabbing you. And then it got even worse.
Yeah. It was frightening. And, you know, the moment 6 hours was gone, I was full of blood and water and tears and dirt and half naked.
But you didn't mention one thing where there was one man who actually put the bullet in the gun. And he held the gun up to your head?
Yes, and he opened the trigger. But then another came completely hysterical to start fighting and throw the gun away. But it was very close, very close. It's funny when you're in this kind of state and you really say, okay, I'm taking responsibility, and you're really open to destiny in a very strange way. It's like, if I'm supposed to be killed, I'm meant to be. If I'm not, I don't. I felt like I was given another life after this piece.
I can imagine, yes. When you experienced the kind of pain that you sometimes had in doing some of these performances, once you sort of got through the pain, what happens when you sort of come out on the other side, when you realize, okay, I can live with this pain?
It's the most liberating and the most wonderful experience. You want to just have ice cream or be very tender to yourself. But if you just think of old cultures, any of these shamanistic cultures from the Amazon, Aborigines, Tibetans, they go through these initiations who are dealing almost with the clinical state of dying, in order to have the different state of consciousness. So the pain is like a door of the secrets that you have to go through.
You're talking about transcendence.
Yeah, definitely. And it's all these cultures deal with the physical pain as one of the first step to have to go through.
That's interesting, because one of your more recent performances, The Artist Is Present, which you're best known for now, in 2010 at the Museum of Modern Art in New York, where you sat in a chair with hundreds of people who would come day after day. And you sit there for what, 7 hours a day?
I wish 8 hours a day and 10 hours on Friday. Museum is open 10
for
hours.
For 3 months.
Yeah.
Obviously, an incredible feat of endurance. What were you trying to do there?
You know, that performance was really an experiment to see if I can transmit unconditional love to total stranger.
So people could come and sit in front of you for however long they wanted. It could be a few minutes, it could be hours.
The idea was to be unconditionally there for them, give them everything I have, and being vulnerable and humble. And that was all.
So often, a total stranger comes and sits down in front of you and starts crying. Why? What happens?
What do you think? I want to know your explanation.
I don't know. I'm asking you.
You come to the museum. You start waiting the line. That line can go a few hours. So the waiting is the process already and is a part of the piece. So you come in the front of me and you sit in the chair. I look at you. You're observed by me, but you're also observed by all the public around you. You're also filmed and photographed. You're nowhere to go. There's no escape. So there is no phone. There is no computer. There is no texting messages. Time stops. The first time you get this incredible connection to your own self, everything comes out. The pain, the loneliness, the everything. It is so unbelievable. And I'm there completely ready to take everything in. And, you know, the eyes are like, the door of the soul. Plus, we don't exchange words. It's not verbal conversation. It's all about emotions.
Now, there are so many things that were so remarkable about that piece at MoMA, the artist is present.
But look how simple it is.
It's so simple, but it's just, just the feat of endurance. And it's worth pointing out, you were in your 60s at the time.
65.
And you are, hour after hour sitting there. You never get up to go to the bathroom. You don't eat anything. Just that emotional intensity, not to mention sitting in a chair hour after hour, which I'm sure was very painful.
Extremely painful. It was more difficult than any other piece I ever made. Because if you just try to sit 3 hours without motion on the chair, you see what that means. But sit 3 months is like, it was so hard, especially after 10 hours. I could not have energy to lift my hands to take the dress off. My legs were swollen. I was like, wow, I could not be touched to be massaged or anything. It was just one big pain. But when I sit there, everything disappears. Only when I stopped, I start feeling that. And I trained this like a NASA training for the spaceship, I have to train to drink water in the night, go to the bathroom in the night, to never have lunch. It was one year training to be able to do this.
It sounds just totally exhausting.
Yeah, but the reward was incredible. You can show the power, transformative power of performance art to the general public.
You want to change people. You want to transform people through that experience of art.
I do. I really do, because I think the only way to change how world looks like and what we are doing right now in the world, it's to change first yourself. By changing myself, I can change thousands, but anything is good because it's so easy to criticize how things are. But what you do personally, what you do on your own personal level, this is my tool I'm using to do my own work. And if everybody uses own tools, whatever they are, if they're bakers are making the bread or gardeners making the garden and do the best possible way, the society will look different. The way to change the world is the only way is to change consciousness. It's no other way.
It's incredibly inspiring. Thank you so much.
This was nice. We've done it already. I didn't even finish my tea.
That was terrific. Thank you. What a pleasure.
That's performance artist Marina Abramović talking with Steve Paulson. Her memoir is called Walking Through Walls.